In a little while, our first speaker tonight is Joe West from Torun, Poland. Joe?
Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, please. Corinthians chapter 16, and I will read, we're starting with verse 1 through 9. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits. If the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus and unto Pentecost. For a great door, and effectual, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, I read all the first 9 verses, but I'm only going to touch on verse 9. But I wanted to get the context. Paul is writing to this church about his plans, and giving some reasons for what he's doing and what he can't do. And he gets some really, really good news about Ephesus. And he says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. I don't know if you ever have been given the opportunity to walk through an open door to preach the gospel in a situation where maybe it's really a special situation, whether it's a family member or someone that's really hungry for the gospel. But if you have, then you can understand why Paul would say here, it's a great door. Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for doors opened up so we can preach the gospel. I mean, we ought to be preaching the gospel wherever we can, wherever we have an opportunity, wherever we go, whenever there's a person we can talk to. But you know, sometimes God opens great doors. And that's what happened in Ephesus. So I think about a great door. You know, a couple of years ago when I was back here in the States, I visited León, Mexico, where we lived for a few years back in the 80s. And some of you may know Brother Jose Hernandez, one of the pastors there in León. He took me to a house he was working on. He does construction work. And he showed me this house, and the door to this house was incredible. I have a picture of it. He's standing in front of this door, and it's at least 16, 18 feet tall. One door, the front door of a house. And it's about 8 feet wide. One door. That's a great door. You know, I think about a great door. That's a heavy one. I don't know how you open a door like that. It must have some special motor on it to open it. But it was a great door, and I'm sure it was quite a heavy door. You know, that when I think about a great door, I think about a door that only God can open. Because there are some doors, man, you think about, how in the world can we get into that place to preach the gospel? Whether it's a city, whether it's a country, whether it's a family, whether it's someone at work, someone that you may think you never will have a chance to have an opportunity to preach the gospel to them. And only God can do that. It says in Revelation chapter 3, look in Revelation 3, and it's a good thing to remember, who opens the door? 3:7 says, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. So you think about a great door that only God can open, and that's what happened at Ephesus. Paul says, if you read the story at Ephesus, it's a pretty amazing story. We don't have time to go through all the details, but Ephesus was a great city. It was one of the largest cities in Asia Minor. And so when Paul talks about a great door, I think, wow, this is quite a place, you know. And it had an amphitheater that would seat 25,000 people. The story you read about Paul in that theater, 25,000 people could sit in that place. That's a great door. He saw that place. He thought, wow, this is a great opportunity. Now, it didn't turn out so great. It got pretty dangerous, but it was a great door. God opened the door for Paul there in Ephesus. And Paul is rejoicing the fact that he has an opportunity in Ephesus. But it's not just the fact that it's a great door that God can open. And when God opens the door, man, why wouldn't you go through the door? If God opens the door at your job where you work and your family and gives you an opportunity, take advantage of it. Because He may shut it before long. When God opens a door somewhere in your neighborhood or some other place, don't hesitate, because that door can shut sometime. God might shut that door. Take advantage of the opportunity you have to preach the gospel. But that door is a great door. Also, because it was a wide door. I mean, that door I saw was at least 8 feet wide. You know what that tells me? There's lots of room for a lot of people to go through it. You think maybe there's no need for any more preachers of the gospel in San Antonio? Because we've got a few already? Think again. I don't think we're making a dent anywhere. Not in San Antonio. Not in Mexico. Not in Poland, not anywhere. In fact, our experience when we were in Mexico and even in Poland, when we think about going to another city, we were pretty pragmatic about it. And we didn't wait for a vision. We didn't fast and pray for 3 months until God showed us where to go. Like some people, you know, they're praying that God show them who to witness to. And they wait for 5 years until God shows them somebody. No, just witness to somebody. You know, God just... open your mouth. But we when we're trying to find a place to preach or a city to go to, we would think about this town, and no matter where we went, no one was preaching on the street. It's not like we were you know, stepping on people all over the place. The door is wide. There is plenty of places to preach the gospel. Plenty of opportunities. There's no danger. Of there being too many people preaching the gospel in this town or in this country or in another country. Hey, the door is great. It's a great door. Amen. Just take advantage of it. Amen. I think about a great door. I think about it being the main door. That door I'm talking about, it was the main front door to this house. It wasn't a house. That's not a house. That's more like a mansion or something. It was a pretty impressive house. But you know, think about that main door. It was a great door because on the inside there were many other doors. You know, God opens a door, and after you go through that door, He gives you lots of other opportunities. Just open the door, opens, and then the sky is the limit of what God can open. You think about the people that you have witnessed to. Some of you have witnessed to a family member. And then it just starts spreading. Yeah. And that has happened time after time. It happened in Mexico, especially in León, where we spent a few years. And when I think about a great door, I think about the years we spent in León. I was just there a month ago again. My wife, Debbie, and I were down there again. And we sang a song tonight. It will be worth it all when we are, how does it say, when we see Jesus. Let me tell you, it's already worth it all. I can't imagine how much better it's going to get when I get to heaven and see even more. But God's already shown us some amazing things. And I can tell you, it was worth it all. And some of you may be new here and may not know all the history and the stories about the years in Mexico and especially in León. But there were some tough years. And yet, it was a great door. God opened homes to us. We would have Bible studies in a home the first time after meeting someone on the street, have a Bible study, sometimes the very next day or even that day, and by the next week, the attendance would double, and the next week it might triple. They'd be inviting their friends, their neighbors, and that wasn't every time, but sometimes God opened a great door. Amen. And there are a few people in the church in Leon, and they may not even be there now, but they were a great door because we got into that house, into that family, and it just multiplied. It was a great door. And there was many opportunities. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at what he says there. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit. So it looks to me like maybe Paul went there not knowing the door was going to be opened up. He just went and God opened the door. And sometimes that's what you need to do. God may not open the door right away, but you know, sometimes you have to open your mouth and then God will open the door. Just do what God told you to do. And God is able to open doors before you. So it's a great door. Only God can open it. It's a wide door. There's room for a lot of people. And it's the main one because it can open a whole lot of other doors. And the sky's the limit on what God can do. But after spending years in Mexico and seeing lots of open doors, God laid upon our hearts to go to Poland. And another great door. It was a door that God opened. I mean, maybe it wasn't so impossible to preach the gospel under communism in Poland, but obviously there were many places that were much easier. But when the Iron Curtain came down, all of a sudden, total freedom. And for the last 22 years, we have had total freedom to preach the gospel anywhere we want in Poland. Any city, just pick your spot. There's plenty of opportunities. We're not stepping on anybody's toes. The police don't forbid us. Sometimes they ask us what we're doing. Sometimes they even tell me that people don't want me here. And I tell them that the people don't want them there either. At least the thieves don't, but you know. That's life, right? But it's an open door. And when we went to Poland, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't have all the answers. We didn't have all some vision of what was going to happen. We just saw an open door and we took it. And God has opened up many more doors since then. Amen. And that's what Paul says here about this great door. He says it's a great door and an effectual door. Now, I thought about that. A great door and effectual. And I think, you know, if God opens a door, doesn't it go without saying it's going to be effectual? I mean, God opens a door and you go through it. He says His word will not return void. So you can be assured that if you do what God tells you to do and you go through an open door and you preach the gospel, you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your energy. You're not wasting your words. You're not wasting gospel tracts. His word will not return void. This morning in the morning meeting, I think Stephen shared about Ezekiel, when God told Ezekiel to go and preach. And he said, if they hear you or if they don't, if they listen, if they don't, just preach anyway. Because then they'll know at least that there's been a prophet among them. You know, if God opens a door and you go through it, you're not wasting your time. There will be rewards for just obeying God. There will be rewards that you can't even imagine because The fact is, there are things that you and I cannot really foresee about what we're doing. There are things that God puts into motion years down the line. How many times has somebody heard the gospel years before? And then somebody else comes along and just waters it a little bit. And God does amazing things. We were in Warsaw, Poland for about 10 years preaching. And we had open door. We had a spot downtown where people would walk from bus stops or from their work to the train station because they commuted every day to Warsaw, thousands of people. And we pass out tracts and preach there several days a week in that one spot. And on more than one occasion, we had people telling us later, they would call us and tell us that they got saved and that they heard the gospel for the first time in that spot right there. We had people telling us, yeah, thank you for preaching to us. We got saved. We're going to some other church across town, whatever. We don't know why they chose a different church, but you know what? It wasn't a waste of time. It was effectual. The doors that God opens are effectual. He says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The great door is going to be effectual. But not only is it effectual in that sense, but I think it also, it's effectual in teaching us what God wants us to know. He says that tribulation worketh patience, the trial of your faith also worketh patience. You know, sometimes we get discouraged. We might see an open door and we preach the gospel. We witness to a family member and nothing happens. And we think, well, what's the point? I bet you learned something through that situation. I bet you learned your Bible better. Nothing will help you learn your Bible better than to try to witness to somebody. Right. Nothing will help you learn your Bible better than to stand out on the street corner and preach the gospel. Because you're inevitably going to get a few questions that you cannot answer. And that's why some of you probably don't want to start preaching the gospel. But you know what? You'll go home. If you have the guts to stand up, you'll go home and you'll find the answer to that question. And the next time you stand up, you'll be ready for that question. They may never ask you that question again. But you'll have it written down in your Bible. You'll be ready. It's an effectual door. But, you know, in Ephesus, it really was effectual. A church got started in Ephesus. Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. It wasn't a waste of time. There were people saved because Paul went to Ephesus. There were people saved and they got a letter written to them from the Apostle Paul because somebody had the courage, had the faith to get out and go to a place where there's an open door to preach the gospel. An effectual door. God opens doors and God opens hearts. He opened Lydia's heart. He opened your heart. You know, that's what we're asking. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for open doors and open hearts. Amen. We cannot open their hearts. We can't open their eyes. We can tell them. We can preach the gospel. We can give them the truth and the opportunity for God, the Holy Spirit, to open their blinded eyes and see the truth. And that's the effectual door that Paul had in Ephesus. And it's the effectual door that we had all those years in Mexico. And it's still going on. Like I said, Deb and I were just there a month ago. And I challenge you, if you ever have gone to Mexico, I know some of you are afraid to go, but it's not that bad. We just came back. We survived. And visit one of the churches. Amen. Visit León. I think it will blow you away. I've been going back there every couple of years for 20 years, and I just cannot believe the place. They've had several splits. Most of them, I would say, amicable splits. But even so, they keep winning souls. Every single church, they go out in the streets and preach, and believe it or not, they are not really making a dent. I mean, they've got a few hundred people in the churches all together, probably, I don't know, 500 to 700 people all together, maybe. But they just keep winning people. And they win families. There's one sister was telling me, recent convert, she was up on the roof of her house. Some of the brothers came by, knocked on the door at the time they'll be preaching on the street. And her grandmother or her mother ran them off and said, "You J.W. Joe Winston, get out of here." And she was up on the roof. No, she was behind the door. She heard how her mom treated them. She felt bad before them, went up on the roof and listened to the gospel preaching. When they got done, she went down, talked to them, and she got saved. Amen. The place is literally amazing. We don't know exactly what it is, except for God has just blessed that city in an amazing way. We can't find the real answer because, humanly speaking, it's just another city. I mean, it is a big city. It's huge. It is growing like crazy. But God has done amazing things there. And definitely it's an effectual door. So I say all that because when we went to León, how many years ago? 31 years ago? 32 years ago, whatever. We had no idea. We didn't have some kind of a vision. We didn't have some kind of a promise. We didn't have people. We didn't have a dream. Somebody saying, "Come over to León and help us." We didn't have that. It was a city on a map. It was a spot, a dot on the map. And we visited it. We didn't see anybody preaching on the streets. But that's the fact of every city in Mexico. At that time, anyway. But we went. It was an open door. And we didn't know it was a great door. It was a great door. An amazing place. But the verse says, in the last part of verse 9, it says, there are many adversaries. Many adversaries. That just messes everything up, doesn't it? It's like going to, you know, you find a good deal on a used car in San Antonio and everything is perfect, low mileage, perfect paint job, no accidents. Everything is perfect. And you get there and it has no air conditioning, right? You think, oh, man, that spoils everything. Many adversaries. Who wants trouble? Who wants to preach the gospel when there's adversaries? Who wants to preach the gospel when there's tribulation and persecution and people laughing and spitting and people rejecting you, making fun of you and scorning? Who wants to do that? Well, the flesh never wants to. And that's the problem. It's a struggle that we have with our flesh. We know we need to preach the gospel. We know there are people around us, those of us who are saved, a neighbor, a co-worker, a family member. We know they're around us, sitting on the plane next to us, sitting on the bus next to us, sitting in at the job next to us, whatever. And yet, deep down we know that there could be flack, that they might reject it, that they might laugh. And that was the case at Ephesus for sure. When you read the story at Ephesus, they just about killed Paul in that place. And yet it was an effectual and a great door. So the point is that a great and effectual door more than likely is going to have some adversaries. I don't know when you can preach the gospel in a great opportunity, having a great situation and not have some flack. It's going to happen. There are adversaries when you preach the gospel. We had Alejandro in León. Alejandro. Alexander. Not the coppersmith, but he was the idol salesman. And he was a really bad dude. This guy, for I don't know how many years, 10 years maybe, nonstop. Gave us so much trouble downtown. After we left, he still kept on giving the brothers trouble. He made the preaching of the gospel a burden. You literally shake in your boots preaching the gospel. It was not something that you looked forward to. It wasn't like, hey, let's go downtown and get some persecution like some people might think about doing, you know. Yeah, it's not all that glorious. The guy was, what's the word? Relentless. He would not give up. We even tried going every day. We thought, okay, every Saturday we go down there, the guy just won't leave us alone. We'll start going every night and we'll wear him out. We didn't. I think we finally maybe did because I don't think he's there anymore. I think he finally got sick and moved away, but he didn't wear out very fast. There are adversaries that keep you from doing God's will. They say, don't go there. Don't go to Mexico. There's a lot of problems in Mexico. Don't go to Poland. That's too far away from home. I can't get to you if something happens. Don't go to that place. Don't go to that area of town. And I'm not trying to tell you to, you know, send your wife to some bad part of town to preach the gospel. I'm just trying to say there are a lot of things the devil will use to discourage you from preaching the gospel. And don't let adversaries keep you from doing God's will. Be prudent. Be wise as serpents. But be obedient. Do what God told you to do. Don't let the devil discourage you from going. How about the language? Oh, man. I think all of us in Poland can say, had we known how hard Polish really was, we might not have gone. It wasn't an easy task. Had we known how hard it was to update this Bible, might not have done it. But you know what? It's a great door. We didn't know it. We just came to the place where we thought we had to do something. We don't have much choice. And so we started doing it. And I have gotten letters in the last 3 or 4 months from unbelievers, Roman Catholics, who decided it was time to start reading the Bible. And they got on the internet and started looking. They started Googling, what Bible should I read? What is a good translation of the Bible? And they came across information that we did not put out there. Other people already had done it and said, yeah, this is a good Bible. And they write me, how do I get this Bible? Why wasn't it printed yet? It was still being printed. I want to buy this Bible. How do I buy this Bible? Unbelievers looking for the Bible to read. This Bible. Praise God. We have it now on almost all the electronic devices for free. Anybody can download it for free on their phone, on their tablet. I got an email today from my brother in Poland that's doing the Kindle version for it. He did it for free. It's going to be available for download on the Kindle for free. Anybody that wants it. And it's about an open door. A great door. Man, that's going all over the place. I've gotten people writing me from all over the world. A guy from the Philippines wrote me one of the Bible. It's a great door. We had no idea. But the possibilities, the potential is mind-boggling in what God can do. I also heard today, and I'll close with this, maybe. Bearing Precious Seed, if you know about their ministry that they have in Ohio, they've already printed in the last 3 years 90,000 New Testaments for us for free distribution. We just pay the shipping from Ohio to Poland. They print them for free. And we distribute them in Poland. Anybody that wants them, any church that wants them, anybody that wants them, they just pay for the shipping from Ohio to Poland. 90,000. And they just sent word today they're going to start printing 50,000 more next month. And when we get those Bibles, when the container gets to Poland, in a matter of 1 to 2 months, they're all gone. They're all distributed all over Poland, churches, individuals. They buy a box at a time. Some of them buy 20 boxes. Some of them buy 20 boxes and send them to some other place. They can distribute them for evangelism. They're just going all over the place. Did we know that?
Amen.
We had no idea. We had no idea. We just saw an open door.
Amen.
And we went through it. It was a great door. And we're praying that it will be effectual. There are many adversaries. I want to just give you four thoughts about the adversaries. Don't let the adversaries get you down. Overcome them. First of all, Jesus said, "Woe be to you when all men speak well of you." So it's expected. You're going to have adversaries. When you're doing God's will, there will be enemies. There will be people telling you you're crazy, you're foolish, you're wasting your time. Expect it. It's going to happen. Also, remember, even though there are adversaries, there are more that be with us than be with them. That's what Elisha said, right? His servant said, "Oh man, look, all around us, the army is all around us. The enemy has just got us surrounded." He said, No, it's not that bad. There are a whole lot more on our side. You need some faith to believe that as many, however many the adversaries you have, there are a whole lot more on your side.
Amen.
And don't trust in yourself. David fought Goliath not because he thought he was strong. David didn't trust in himself. He trusted in his God. He had delivered him before. He would do it again.
Yeah,
so don't trust yourself.
Amen.
Of course you're not able. You think I'm able? You think I'm so smart, I'm so whatever, to be able to do any of the things that God has allowed me to do? No. Oh, but God. You put God in the equation, and all things are possible.
Amen.
He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
And the fact is, you should overcome the adversaries because there is no other way. It says in Romans chapter 10, and I will close with this, I promise. Romans 10, and that's why we're here this week. We're trying to remind ourselves that God opens doors so we can go out and preach the gospel to souls who are dying without God, without hope, and going to hell. It says here in Romans 10, 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You have an answer? You have an answer for that? We heard a song last night. The angels can't do it. They're not going to do it. The stars, the clouds, the rocks, they're not going to do it. Jesus said the rocks would cry out. He didn't say they would preach the gospel, and they're not going to. How shall they hear without a preacher? The question is not how many adversaries are there. The question is how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just stand and turn to number 52. Number 52.